take God's word tonight and turn to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I said we're going to talk on the subject of witnessing tonight. It's within it, and it's within the message that we have here tonight anyway. You know, I'll ask a question as we get started, not to receive an answer out loud, but just to answer within ourselves. You know, how often do we share our faith with someone else? And, you know, I hope that's a great number. I hope that's really often. If not, you know, we just need to be helped with that. So why would we not share our faith? Or if someone hasn't in a while, why don't we? Why don't we share our faith more? I'm not going to throw out the avenues of possible answers, but I know we can answer that in our hearts. And whatever, if we are, great, we'll be encouraged more tonight. If we're not, I pray that it's a help to us to share our faith more and to overcome some reasons why we may not. I could probably maybe come close to the top three answers why some do not share their faith, but we'll let the Lord handle that through the message. Most of us are familiar with what happened at Virginia Tech University in 2007. A senior by the last name of Cho, C-H-O, he went on a rampage and he killed 32 people in the college and he wounded 17 of them and then took his own life. And it's said that most of those who were shot and killed were sitting in the classroom when it happened. And, you know, and as word got around what was happening, the chaos broke out and he chained the doors on the building to hinder people from breaking out. People started panicking when they realized what was going on. And when Cho came to one certain classroom, he found that the professor had barred the door. And he reacted very quickly. This was a man who survived the Holocaust, and he later moved to Israel before coming to America and teaching in college. He was 76 years old and had that experience. And just as soon as he realized what was going on, he immediately led these students to escape out the windows. As he barred the door and stood close to the door, while many of the students got away, unfortunately, he was hit by the gunman's bullets and he died. But a number of his students were saved. And this professor who did this, his son later received several emails from young people who had been in the classroom with the professor, and they were just grateful for what he had done by literally placing himself in the line of fire. You know, in the moment of adversity, his courage rose to the occasion and he proved himself a hero. You know, most of us don't have stories like that. Most of us do not face situations so severe. But each of us, we face situations which puts our faith, it puts our courage to a test. And the opportunity to share the gospel with a friend, the opportunity to share the gospel with a coworker, you know, or to stay silent and not do so, that in itself is a moment of adversity for us sometimes. It shouldn't be, but it is. It's not a moment to determine whether or not we have the strength to stand up in that moment and do that. It's, as children of God, we're given that. But it's a moment that we might reveal that strength and that ability. No matter what comes back the other way, no matter what we think we're going to face, or no matter what we end up facing when we do so, the crucible of adversity is a moment when what is in our hearts is shown to the world. Our responsibility to God is to live every day in His strength and not fail these tests. Paul is writing to Timothy here. Battle-scarred Paul, a soldier of the Lord in the faith, is writing to young Timothy just out of Bible boot camp, if you will. And imagine a young preacher in that day and time with all of the persecution that was going on. He knew what Paul faced. He knew what others faced. And here he is, a young preacher coming up in the ministry. And not only does he see what Paul faced, he has seen what other Christians have done. They've seen Paul be put in prison, and they've kind of faded away, and they got more silent. And so here's this preacher, Timothy. And he could be tempted to say, well, you know what? I'm new and I'm just getting a grasp on things. I don't think I need to invite more trouble. You know, imagine him weighing out his responsibilities as a preacher and possibly trying to justify staying out of this or not doing that whenever, you know what, as a young soldier of the Lord, he needed to fulfill every bit of his responsibility. And Paul helps him to do so. My mind was on verse 6 all week long. Stir up the gift of God within thee. In the thought that maybe the burning fire we've had for the Lord has dwindled out some. And I thought maybe we need help there. But as I've ended up here, obviously what I trust that we need tonight is the boldness to share our faith with others no matter what comes. And so that's what we're going to look at tonight, living for the sake of the gospel. We never have to be ashamed, verse 8, of the testimony of our Lord. I like a homemade definition I heard one time of not being ashamed of the gospel. And I've said it in recent messages. I can hear myself a few weeks ago maybe talking about how the gospel will never let you down. You know, why would we be ashamed? There's nothing to be ashamed of concerning the gospel or anything else we would ever experience for the cause of Christ. To stand for His truth, no matter what comes our way, there's nothing to be ashamed of. We will never be disappointed or let down by the glorious message of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what. And as I say that, the Apostle Paul put that in shoe leather, didn't he? I mean, you think of everything that he endured for the sake of the gospel. So look with me in verses 8 through 10 at no shame in sharing the gospel. Paul writes to Timothy and says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Was Timothy tempted to avoid difficult circumstances as he was coming up in ministry and try to buy a little time in that? Was he tempted to shrink sometimes at the persecution that came his way, or just simply the demands that were upon him as a young preacher? How much did he think about all of the persecution that had come upon Paul, that it was his time to face now? As we think about that question we had, why maybe we, you know, how often do we share our faith? Often, great. If not, why don't we? You know, I don't know if this will do anything for anybody tonight or not, but God's given me the opportunity to witness with many other Christians through the years. And I have gone out and witnessed with some wonderful, faithful witnesses of God who do so well in sharing the Word of God with someone. You know, you don't know what you're going to hear back in return. You know, you don't know what questions you'll get. And, you know, you're just ready right there to give an answer. And man, I tell you what, I have ran across some that I love to hear witness. But let me say this, and maybe this will help us. Some of the greatest, most experienced witnesses for Christ who have a great handle on the Word of God, their nerves get them before they get started. For everyone I've ever seen, their nerves get a hold of them before they get started. And you know, there's something that never fails to happen when a group goes out to witness. You know, it might be that when we take off as a group with the church, we forgot to pray for traveling grace. So what do? We bow our heads, everybody but the one driving, and we pray right then. You know, I don't know if we forget to pray over the meal every now and then. You know, but I just say that to say this. I have never been in a group who has gone witnessing and they have not stopped to pray. There's no forgetting to pray when you are about to share your faith with others. It's never happened for me anyway with anyone I've been with. There's always been that come to our mind. And I'm talking about sincere prayer, depending on the Lord to help us with those that we are about to share our faith with. You know, Timothy needed help with boldness. That's what Paul was doing and encouraging him in. And every single one of us do. For the one that you might say, man, I wish I could witness like so-and-so that I saw on TV or a YouTube video, they're so good at it. Nerves will try to get everyone before we share our faith. But Paul gives encouragement to Timothy here to be bold and share the gospel and support those who do share the gospel. Paul was put in prison and some quit supporting him. They just went away. And they walked away out of fear. But Paul encourages Timothy to hang in there. Well, at the end of verse 8 we see, by the power of God. People want to see the power of God at work today. Some people read of what God did in the Old Testament with so many, and they say, man, I would like to see the power of God at work today. And God is at work today, and we will see God at work today the more we do what He's called us to do. We can see God's power at work by doing His work. And so what's the hang up on this? You know, we say we want to see the power of God, and then sometimes we don't react and do as God would have us to do so we can see it. Well, to do God's work is always going to involve some suffering. His word has let us know that. He's let us know that truth. And so, man, you think about Paul. He wanted his thorn to be removed. He begged the Lord. He asked the Lord thrice to remove this thorn. But he kept on. He didn't quit. The Lord said no, and he kept on. And he saw the power of God at work. Even Jesus prayed for that cup to be passed from him. And no doubt that was a cup of suffering among many things. But he didn't. But Almighty God was at work. There was suffering in that cup. Some continual suffering may go on in the faithful servant of Jesus Christ. And we should not shrink at this reality. You know, it sure is different to suffer for doing right than it is to suffer for doing wrong. You know, when we suffer for doing right, when we suffer for Jesus' sake, the Lord has our back and He's faithful to take care of us. When we suffer for doing wrong, we need to backtrack and go to the Lord and confess and get things cleaned up. It's a lot better to suffer for doing right than for doing wrong. You know, we don't want any suffering at all is what we might think in this moment in time right now. But it's surely preferable to suffer for Christ's sake than to suffer for bad decisions. It's literally sharing in Christ's sufferings whenever we suffer for His sake. Paul said he wanted to know Christ and the fellowship of His sufferings. That's one way to know Christ more. There's some ways we'll never know the sufferings of Christ. We'll never know the sufferings of the cross. That was for Jesus and for Jesus alone. But we will know some of His sufferings when we share truth and when we're persecuted for doing so. You know, and as we talk about this suffering, it's one thing to think about it ahead of time and want to avoid it. But in the middle of working for God and that suffering comes on, the measure of the power of God that is given to us as we work for Him, we find it something pretty exciting. We find out and we experience what people say when they say, man, I really want to see the power of God at work today. He's really at work when we're suffering for His sake. An experience of His power will never have us avoid our Christian duty or work in witnessing. Paul encourages Timothy with all he has to go through as a child of God in sharing the truth by telling him about the power of God. And we see a lot of things in verse 9 here. And one thing we find is grace. And we can sum up everything in this verse by the grace of God. So Paul encourages Timothy by the grace of God. You know, the work of us sharing and supporting the ministry of the gospel was God's glorious plan before those 6 days of creation. What does he say here? In verse 9, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Peter speaks of the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. How about that? Before God ever made Adam, before anyone, God had a sacrifice for the sins of His people planned. But not only that, He had us planned to have a holy calling to share this glorious good news and this truth and to tell people about it today. We have a purpose to tell of a Savior. Everyone needs Him. Everyone. It doesn't matter what part of the world they're in. It doesn't matter what religion they're in. It doesn't matter how serious they are about their religion. They're simply seriously and sincerely wrong if they're sincere about their religion. I don't mean that ugly. It's just that the truth is Jesus is the only way. And the only hope that anyone else can have is to hear of Jesus. God's had it planned for a long time that that's what we do with our lives, that we tell others about Jesus. We have a purpose to tell of a Savior, and we have been informed that some suffering's going to come with it. Suffering for Christ's sake. So, blessed are they who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Happy are you in this type of suffering that comes along with it. Jesus suffered more than we will, more than we ever will, but we are called to some suffering for His sake. And we can trust the Lord's plan for knowing what's best for us. I tell you what, a testimony came to my mind just as I was in the sanctuary this evening about a man who told of becoming a Christian and his heart was thrilled that his sins were forgiven and he had a home in heaven. And he described his Christian life as seeming to run just kind of flat for a while. And he said, from the first time that I opened my mouth to tell someone about Jesus, I haven't stopped, and my Christian life skyrocketed from that moment on. It is something that is a must in our Christian life. It is something that gives us joy. It is something that lets us know that we have fulfilled our purpose. No matter what reaction you get from someone, you have the peace that you have fulfilled your purpose when you tell someone else about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. The Lord has saved us, not by works. We couldn't do any amount of good works to be acceptable by the Lord, but He saved us, and He's drawn every single person to be saved by the message of the gospel. And for those who have trusted Christ, for those who become children of God, He has given to us to declare the good news of the gospel to someone else. Paul has encouraged Timothy by the power of God that is with the child of God when we do what we should be doing for the Lord here. And he's encouraged him by the grace of God. And now he's encouraged him by the defeat over death. Look in verse 10. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death. What great news we have to share with others. Paul was facing death for the gospel's sake when God had him write this. Paul had frequented the prison often. Paul had faced death many times up to this point. But when we talk about death as a child of God, we talk about something that has lost its sting. How wonderful is that? I mean, the people who go through this entire life fearing death, but Jesus has taken the stinger out of it. And death no longer has its sting because we go on to our eternal life that we already have right now. We're just passing through the shadow of death. The defeat of death. We have such good news to share. Jesus has abolished death. We face physical death, but we have eternal life now with the Lord forever. By way of the gospel, there is assurance of eternal life in heaven. The good news just keeps going on. We have a message of light that cuts through the darkness of this world. People are depressed. People are sorrowful. People have no hope. People have no purpose. And we have a message to give that frees them from their sins and gives them everything they don't have right now. What light we get to reflect as the Lord's witnesses. Death has been destroyed by Jesus Christ. What an encouragement for Timothy and for us that we would steadily be faithful to this and endure the suffering that comes along with it for Christ's sake, to share the good news of a wonderful Savior to those around us. There is no shame in sharing the gospel. We can have some preconceived ideas about how things are going to go. We have some high school kids in here tonight, and to think about a reaction in school, don't get me wrong, we have had young people who do share the gospel in school. I'm not saying that we don't, but if we have any who have never done so, it may be because of what we think will be the reaction. And we would be pleasantly surprised at many things God will do. Sure, we may suffer some consequences with some and their tackiness and brushing us off. But the results of planting seeds of the Lord Jesus Christ spiritually are amazing. Death has lost its sting. There's no shame in sharing the gospel. There's no shame for others who share the gospel. As in, we should stand with them and they should be supported. Look at verses 11 and 12. Just verse 11 right now. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. We'll be there to that verse in just a second. But as I've alluded to, Paul was a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ in by way of a bond slave, but also literally in prison. And he was abandoned when the persecution heavily came upon him. There were those who shrunk at his suffering. You could even say they were ashamed to be in connection with him, to be identified with him. Timothy could have had it easier if he would have gone with the flow, if he would have jumped on the bandwagon of the abandoners and just walked away and avoid some suffering. Paul knows what he went through. Paul knows where young Timothy is, okay? And he's encouraging him to stick with the truth. He knows what's coming with it. And he says, he's saying, Timothy, stick with the truth. Stay with God's truth. And don't leave. And he gave Timothy some reasons to support him and identify with him as a prisoner. Verse 11 that we just read. God appointed Paul to what he was doing. Paul was put in prison for doing what God appointed him to. And of course, God knew where he would end up. And we know how that goes. It just flung the door open for Paul to share the gospel with those that he hadn't been sharing the gospel with because they were in prison. The furtherance of the gospel continued. God appointed Paul to what he was doing. The Lord saved Paul. The Lord called Paul to ministry for the work of preaching the gospel. And God gave him the truth to speak. And Paul says at the end of his life, he says, I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. God gave Paul his truth. And he shared his truth with others. And it didn't matter who abandoned him. It didn't matter who rejected him. It didn't matter what happened to Paul in this city or that city for sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. God appointed Paul's actions and God appointed his announcements that he made. Timothy was encouraged to not only share the gospel, but to stand up and to stand with those who do. No matter what happens, the truth doesn't change. The truth is needed. And the calling on our lives is to share the gospel with others. God appointed Paul to what he was doing. But not only that, Paul had confidence to do what he was doing. Look at verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Paul wasn't ashamed no matter what argument came his way from any other religion. Paul wasn't ashamed no matter who harassed him for what he did in sharing the truth. Paul wasn't ashamed no matter who put him behind bars for what he was doing for God. The trials that came upon him did not take away the truth of the gospel. You know, when you talk to some people, they really think they have this powerhouse. This is the big enchilada. This is their big point. And that is, well, I don't believe the Bible. Or I don't believe in God. Romans chapter 3, verse 3 says, for what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Does God just pack up and go home and they win just because they don't believe? God forbid. What does it say there in the next verse? God forbid. Yea, let God be true and every man a liar. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. No matter what happened, the gospel was still true and Christ took care of Paul. How did Paul endure such suffering? How did he go through the coldness and the nakedness and being in perils and going through shipwreck and stoned? And how did he continue on after going through all of that? Because the gospel was still true. And that calling was still upon the life of Paul. And the Lord promises to take care of Paul. Paul had a person with him everywhere he went. And I'm not talking about Silas, and I'm not talking about Barnabas in this case. I'm talking about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ living inside him, going with him everywhere he went. And Paul says, for I know whom I have believed. No matter what Paul faced in the various cities, Jesus Christ was true and faithful. It's His good news, it's His shed blood that that saves a person from their sins, and nothing and no one else, and that never changed. As I mentioned at the end of the service this morning, a lot of messages on suffering has been laid on our heart. A lot of people have been going through sufferings of different sorts, and it has been really good to talk about the help of God in our time of suffering, that we can be encouraged to keep on. But here we have that we are to have a boldness to witness, a boldness to do what God called us to do, even though it invites suffering and brings on suffering. But we're to share the good news, and we're to support those who do. You know, what do we do in the times we're living in? We're really living in some different times right now today. What do we do? Stay true to Jesus Christ. Stand on the truth. Stand with those who share the truth. We must be willing to suffer for the one who suffered greater for you and I to buy our salvation. He's worth it. He's let us know that we'll suffer for His sake. There's a story that kind of puts all of this in shoe leather I'd like to close with, about a missionary named Jim Elliot. He was a passionate Christian, and he journaled many of his thoughts and his prayers. And one such entry expressed his concern about impact. The impact that he wanted to have for Jesus Christ. And he wrote, "Father, make me a crisis man. Bring those I contact to decision. Let me not be a milepost on a single road. Make me a fork that men must turn one way or the other or another on facing Christ in me." That was the heart he had for sharing the good news. And he was one of the missionaries who was martyred in 1956. He died that long ago, and his impact is still effective today. That young man died at the age of 29 years old. And that's the heart he had for sharing his faith in Jesus Christ with others, obviously to the point of it costing his life. I love to jump in between Paul writing to Timothy, because I know all of these things are very good for every single one of us. And I pray that in some way it helps us to be a better witness for Jesus Christ. Don't get me wrong. Sometimes we make a great witness without ever opening our mouths with someone we are around continually. But there are those that we see and come across, and we will never see them again. And we know what the most important thing that we can do for them is. I don't know what God might be laying on your heart tonight, but we're going to have a time of invitation, even if everyone stays right where they are in their pews, to have time alone with God to reflect on His Word. So let us pray, and then we're going to have an invitation. Father in heaven, we come to You again tonight, Lord. It's so good to be back in Your house. We thank You for this day. You are so worthy of the praise and the worship, and we pray it's pleasing to You. And our life needs spiritual feeding so desperately. So I want to thank You for what You've done in our lives today. I thank you that you're always in control. I thank you that you're for us, Lord, and you're making us worth something. You've miraculously taken us from sinners, and you've saved us that we might even be holy, as the song spoke of this morning. Father, we love you tonight. Lord, we ask that you help us, that you give us boldness, that your word would affect us, and we would share our faith with someone this week, and that it might be something that would continue. Lord, whatever you're doing in the hearts of your people, Lord, may we have a time now after sharing your word that you would move in hearts and decisions might be made tonight. And I want to thank you for what you do tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please rise. Please stand.
Page 430.